Today we're going to read from Ruth 1, verse 1 through 13. So I'm going to read from the NASB. Now it came in the days when the judges governed that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the land of Moab with his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, the Ephratites of Bethlehem in Judah. Now they entered the land of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They took for themselves Moabite women as wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they lived there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and the women were bereaved of her two children and her husband. Then she arose with her daughter-in-laws that she might return from the land of Moab. For she heard in the land of Moab that the Lord had visited his people in giving them food. So she departed from the place where she was and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on their way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. May the Lord grant that you may find rest, each in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, but we will surely return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return, my daughters, why should you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Return, my daughters, go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should even have a husband tonight and bear sons, would you therefore wait until they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is harder for me than for you, for the hand of the Lord has gone forth against me." Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for another chance, Lord, to meet and gather, Lord. God, we pray, Lord, that your spirit will just rest in each of our homes. God, in each of our hearts, guide us, lead us, show us your way. God, Holy Spirit, we just ask that you'll lead this time, lead my words, God, and that your presence will just be made known. In your name we pray. Amen. So when I was reading this, trying to think about what book to do, because it's actually been about 3 months since I've done EMP, and I was like, oh, I have to get back into the habit. I have to start doing things again, which I haven't done in like 3 months after doing EMP regularly every week on Thursdays. God brought me back to the book of Ruth, which is interesting, brought me back to this book, because today actually I'm going to talk a lot about the returning, going back. And I actually thought I had covered the book of Ruth. And so I went on, but I was like, oh, maybe I haven't. And so I went and I checked online, and I realized in 2016 I planned to go through the book of Ruth. I'd done chapter one, and then I didn't cover the book again at all. And I have no idea why I stopped. I really feel like God was prompting me to go back to this book, because I think this book is such a beautiful reminder that even in difficult times, God is with his people. He's with his children. That even when we run away, God wants us to return to him. And so as I was reading this, there's so many different things that came out to me. But just to go over some basic background of this book, this book took place during the time of the judges. And if you know about the time of the judges, it is just an awful time period to be part of Israel. The people are increasingly becoming more and more evil, right? The end of the book of Judges says, and they were evil, and they did whatever they want, what they thought was right in their own eyes. I'm paraphrasing, and they had no king, right? And you just see the story time and time and time again of how these people were just continually getting further and further away from God's intended plan, right? And here we have a time where they're in famine, right? And if you look back in Deuteronomy, I don't remember which verse and which chapter exactly, but it talks about how that as long as they're remaining obedient to God, they won't face famine. But here they're facing famine. So you get this picture that these people are not living a life that's obedient, that's following the path of God. And so here you have these characters in the book, right? And there's three main characters, Naomi, Ruth, and Boaz. And these people, I mean, maybe Naomi not as much, but Ruth and Boaz, they stand out. They are not like the rest of the people in Bethlehem. right? I mean, there's probably other people like them, but the overall character of these two people are so different. Ruth, she's not even an Israelite. That makes her stand out immediately. And Boaz is a man who does what's right, right? He's known as a righteous man, and he stands out. You know, Naomi and her family come from Bethlehem, a place that means place of bread, right? And they're struggling to survive. This famine is so harsh that it would push them to leave their land, their the promised land. You know, this land that their ancestors, you know, spent 40 years in the wilderness to come to. Right? They come and they go through battles and just trying to get to this land, and yet they're willing to leave it. And I was trying to figure out, why would they leave? I mean, the desperation for food is obviously one valid reason why they potentially could have left. But I was doing some reading, and there was one other, well, there's actually lots of different viewpoints that scholars have, because scripture doesn't specifically give us the details. But another possibility that I kept reading over was that actually there's a chance that this family was quite wealthy, and that leaving, they were trying to preserve their wealth. I mean, Bible doesn't tell us specifically, so I throw it out there, but it may not be the what happened. But you know, you have this, there's some sort of desperation, whether it's for food, to maintain what they have, right? And so you have this family in this very difficult situation. And then they go to this place, Moab. This is the last place in the world you would have thought they would go. These are ancient Israel's enemy, right? Moab are the descendants from Lot's child, Moab. The Moabites come from Moab. And Moab, the son of Lot, was from an incestuous relationship he had with his daughter. If you remember the book, Lot is Abraham's nephew. They leave Sodom and Gomorrah. His daughters basically trick him into sleeping with them because they're desperate to have children. It's really messy. And so out of that incestuous relationship comes this people, and there's this conflict that develops between Abraham's descendants and Lot's, right? And you see things like King Balak tries to hire Balaam to curse Israel. Ehud kills their king Eglon. There's just this deep conflict that is developed between these people. And yet Naomi's family chooses to head to their land, hoping for something better, hoping for food, right? And so you think, what would make you go to that place that you really, I mean, there's nowhere in scripture that indicates God led them to go there, like directly, right? There's nothing that says, God says, hey, pick up, go, move, follow me, right? And so they're definitely, there's something amiss. There's something not quite right. But once they get to Moab, life clearly does not go as planned. Her husband, Naomi's husband, dies. She has her two sons get married. They live there about 10 years. Her two sons die. It's worst case scenario. You know, I think about, you know, you have all these wonderful plans in your life. You think, oh, if I move to this place or I move to this job, you know, oh, things are going to be better. I'm going to have so much more money or security, or maybe I'll find that person I'm looking for, or more friendships. You know, we have all these, like, if I go there, right? And when God isn't the one directing us there, we do it in our own way, we're going to hit these worst case scenarios. And that's what happens. They hit a worst case scenario. Nothing could be more, I mean, I can't imagine in that time period anything being worse for Naomi. No husband, no sons, no grandchildren. Right? As a woman during that time, she was going to be like the lowest level, no hope to be able to really survive. There's no one to take care of her, right? And so she's got nothing, right? And in her love for her two daughter-in-laws, she's actually like, go back home. You're going to have a better life there, right? There's this deep sense of love and wanting to protect them. Like, she even says, like, my life is so much worse. Like, I have a child. Were you going to wait for that child to grow up so that you can have another child, right? And I'll talk more about that when we get towards Boaz, why that would have been. But really think about just how much desperation she would have to want to separate from those daughter-in-laws, and the love she had for them, not to want to bring them into a place where life didn't seem like it was going to get much better. And so as I was praying and I was just meditating on this scripture, God highlighted three things that kind of connect to the story for me, connect to maybe what's going on in the world. You know, and I was thinking about, like, right now, so much chaos is happening that we're trying to figure out how to get back to normal or how things will be better in the future. And we're trying to find ways to escape this hardship or to overcome the hardship. And if we don't do it in God's plan, right, we could end up in a situation, maybe not where, hopefully, God willing, nothing like, you know, your son's dying, your husband dying, you know, things like that. But we're trying to get over this hardship without actually battling it, right? And I think about when we're trying to escape our lives, looking for that better life, but not in the will of God, what happens? And I think about times where I've had friends who, you know, either it's they escape. That's what they do. They escape. They either escape a job, so they job hop, right? Like from one job to the next job to the next job to the next job, and nothing seems to change, right? No matter what job they have, there's something wrong with their boss, there's something wrong with their coworkers. Or they move from country to country, right? They can't settle anywhere. And there's this idea, their problems just seem to follow them. You know, like when you move from place to place to place to place, but you never actually address the issues at hand, right? Bethlehem, there was an issue of famine. Why was there an issue of famine? Well, it's the time of the judges. They were not being obedient to God. Instead of going to the root to fix that disobedience, go to a place of repentance, this family leaves their home, right? And God does something beautiful out of it. So let's not, I mean, there's going to be such a beautiful, beautiful story of God's sovereignty and how he works this out. And it's such a beautiful picture. But that initial leaving, you know, instead of addressing the core issue of what was going on, they escape. They escape to go to a different land, a land that's not in God's plan for them to be in. You know, it's their enemy. And so, you know, thinking about all the times that in our lives we start to escape. We start to try to run away, you know, and what does that do to our life? You know, we just keep living in these cycles where things don't get better, where we don't have that intimate relationship with God, or we're not able to cultivate these godly relationships with people, right? And we're just left in this place of, you know, maybe it's anger, or maybe it's despair, or maybe it's the woe is me. And instead of actually looking at what's going on in our lives, that we continually repeat these cycles. You know, when we think about our current world situation, if we don't take the time to think about the way our lives used to be, if we don't take the time to reprioritize or to allow God to speak into our lives, we're just going to go back to the way things were. And there's some wonderful things about the way things used to be. But there's also this potential for things to be so much better, where our faith can be transformed, our lives can be transformed. Maybe we can be kinder, more loving. You know, the dependency of God in our lives. Well, maybe we've gotten to a point where as Christians, we're so independent of God that we're the shaking of the world, God is saying, come back to rely on me. You know, in our jobs, you know, maybe things aren't secure right now. It's a time to assess, you know, what are these patterns of my life that I keep going back? You know, I can't keep blaming other people. No, there are times where, you know, you just need to leave a toxic situation where a boss might be abusive, or you know, the time is up in that the city that you're living in. So I'm not talking about every situation. But when those patterns keep reemerging, if we never look back at ourselves, if we never reflect, how are we going to grow? How are we going to be the people God has wanted us to be? You know, the other thing that God spoke to me was about this idea of going back, right? Often we think about going back to the places we've come from as failures. Right? Like if we go back, it means something's not right. We just think the idea of we're not moving forward in our life. Right? And honestly, if we look at Naomi's life in a worldly sense, what happened in their family was a failure, right? Like sons died, husbands died. She's left all by herself. Like she has her two daughter-in-laws, but no one to help them get married to, no grandchildren, you know, and being a mother, like being able to provide offspring was such a huge part of a woman's identity during that time period. I mean, it still is in many cases, that all being taken away from her would have been seen potentially as this great failure of life, right? And though she does not see what God is about to do, right? Naomi does not know the wonderful plan God has, but she's willing to go back and face the people to see them, right? And admit life did not work out the way that she had wanted. There's this humility in this return. You know, living life as a Christian is about demonstrating humility, about seeking that place in our heart and our spirit where we can humble ourselves, that we're not trying to make things happen for the sake of it, but instead recognizing that maybe our plans were not right. Maybe we were running. Maybe I was not doing what God had called me to do. And this, when we can humble ourselves, really humble ourselves, not just go, I mean, there's times where we just have to push forward. We have to just plow through, right? But if we never take the time to reflect, be like, you know what? Maybe this isn't right. Maybe the way we've been doing things, though, it's not necessarily bad. It's not what God intends. You know, we have to allow for growth to take place in our lives where we reflect. You know, being self-reflectors, I think, can be one of the hardest things to do in our lives, but can be one of the most beneficial to our spiritual lives, our emotional lives, our relationships. When we take that time to reflect, not dwell on our mistakes to the point where we're condemning ourselves and judging us and, you know, not giving ourselves any room to make mistakes. We're going to make mistakes. It's part of life, right? We don't want to get to the point where we're just always reflecting to the point of our own personal demise, right? And then we're never good enough or anything like that. But when we take that time to really humbly reflect and ask God to show us and change us, right, it allows and it makes room for this amazing things that God wants to do in our lives. You know, going back does not mean always going back to what you left. Though, for Naomi, it was. She was going back to Bethlehem. But going back can also mean just looking into our hearts. You know, maybe God's not calling you to go back to a job that you used to have, or I'll go back to a city you used to live in, or, you know, go back to a toxic relationship that was detrimental to you. You know, those aren't things necessarily God is calling you back to, but maybe God's calling you back to a place in your heart to seek what was going on so God can bring healing. You know, that's one of the things about inner healing that's so wonderful, is God takes you back to those places and then he shows you where he was at so he can bring you into this beautiful place of healing, so that you can have a wholeness and your steps forward in your life forward can be, I mean, it doesn't always mean everything's just gone like that, right? Sometimes there's still things that you need to work on, but it gives you and opens this platform so that you can just walk in the freedom that God has for you. You know, to move forward, we need to address those shadows, our hurts, our pains, our weaknesses, right? So that we're not walking in our own strength, but in God's. You know, I just really feel like Naomi must have really been dependent on God, even if scripture doesn't fully say it. Like, she had to. Like, God is going to be the one that comes through, right? And we see that God, time and time again, even though in this book he's not talked about tremendously, but God's sovereignty is so over this entire book. And going home allowed her to have a growth. You know, Naomi could have potentially stayed on Moab all her life, thinking and wishing about all the things and goodness that God could have had in her life. But instead, she did something. She got up, went back, and in that, God really comes through, and we see just God's beautiful work. Naomi trusted in his sovereignty. She trusted that he was in control, and she was willing to go back and allow him to continue to work. You know, and the last thing that really stood out to me was the goodness of God in our lives. The way we live our life should draw people to God, right? Naomi talks about, we see in verse 6, Naomi decides to return to Israel because of the work of God. She'd heard God had brought food back. God had visited his people, right? And she wanted to go to the place where God was at work. I think about our lives. Are we a life that demonstrates God at work, that people are drawn into it, right? Or are we willing to see where God's at work and move towards it? You know, a few friends that, you know, when they left Hong Kong, they left for, honestly, I think not the, they, I don't really think it was for God. You know, like many of them were like, well, if I stay in Hong Kong, I'm never going to get married. And that was their route. And I look at those women, they're still not married. You know, they've been back in, I mean, most of the women I'm thinking, because I worked at a Canadian school, they moved back to Canada, right? They're still, the women that distinctly said, oh, I'm never going to get married in Hong Kong, I need to move back, they're still not married 10 plus years later, right? And I'm not saying that they were wrong in going back, but I think about the reason why they went back. And then I talk to some of them and their spiritual life has really declined. You know, they ran from God. They ran from what God was doing here. You know, I have other friends who left for other various reasons, right? And they look back on when their spiritual life was at the prime. And they're like, it was Hong Kong. And then you get back to the root why they left Hong Kong. And it wasn't because God was moving them. It was because they wanted a better job or they wanted a better education. And when you actually talk to, like, did God lead you to do those moves? None of them say yes. Now, I do have friends who moved back who aren't married, but the reason they moved back was definitely God. So I'm not saying all my friends are like that strict on what happened, but there's those cases. And I think, you know, when we move out of God's will, there is something that can happen in our lives. And, you know, sometimes God calls us to go back, right? And you think about going back to where God is at work and maybe going back to where you once were, because there's something so beautiful in that. And I think, you know, we want to be a people that demonstrate that God is visiting us, that attracts the world to us. And as a personal level, when we were most connected to God, what was it? It doesn't mean we have to start doing the same things. You know, we go through seasons, there's growth. Our relationship with God changes over time. It should, right? It should deepen, it should mature, it should look different. But what are those key elements of those times we were so connected to God that He was able to work in us? And reflect, if we're not there, is it because we've stepped out of line? And if it's that we've stepped out, we are the ones that are moving away, how do we go back to that place? You know, and I think really it's such an important thing to remember that God really desires for us to have a deep relationship, that we should be walking in His ways, and that we have this humble part of our being that allows us to really seek God even when things aren't going the way we want, right? We can stay and go, oh, I wish it was this or I wish it was that. But here we see Naomi, she takes action. She's like, you know what? I'm going to do this. You know, and I think part of our lives, yeah, God needs to be at work, but there's an action that we need to humble ourselves. And it could just simply be sitting on our couch being like, God, I've messed up. I've not connected with you. I'm so sorry. So this morning, as we go into a time of worship, I just want us to really reflect about where we are at spiritually. You know, we may be doing really well, but are there areas that could improve? I mean, there's always things that we can connect with God deeper. What are those shadows in our lives that are holding us back? What are those things right now in the world that God is calling us to let go of or to pursue so that after we come out of this time of COVID-19, that we can really deepen that relationship with Him? And so, you know, I was thinking just one personal short story is, you know, years ago before I took this job, I went home for 6 months, right? And it was really from God that I was to go back. And it wasn't easy. I ended up living in a house with my brother, my sister, her husband, my sister's two kids, my mom, right? And there was a lot of difficult, you know, like you have that many adults and there was one bathroom, just one shower, one toilet that worked well. There was one that didn't work as well, right? And we're just together all the time. But in that season, our depth of our family and our relationship grew and we became stronger. And in that going back, it allowed me to move forward and return to Hong Kong different and actually better. And so this morning, let's just ask God, what is it that He's calling us to do? And so I'm going to ask, I think it's Matthew, to just lead us in a time of worship. Thank you.
ocean, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. And everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior. The hope of nations. God, you're mighty to save. You are mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation, you rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Find me, all my fears and failures. Come fill my life again. Give my life to follow, and everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Now I surrender. Oh, I surrender. Oh, down my life for you, God, and taking up my cross and laying down my will, oh God, and seeking after you today, God, and turning from the way of the sword and the way. God, I surrender all, and I'm trusting in you today, God, and believing in your way, your way, your way, and following hard after you, God, and saying yes and amen. I surrender to you, because you're the Savior. Savior, you can move our mountains. My God, you're mighty to save. You are mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. You rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Savior, mighty to save forever, author of salvation. You rose and conquered the grave, Jesus conquered the grave.
Lord, that you're the one that is moving us forward, that you're the one that is working in our lives to even move us back to those places, to address the things in our lives that are still holding us back to the full, from the fullness that you planned. Lord, I pray, Lord, as we just seek you, continue to pray, Lord, and all our life, Lord, that we won't be afraid to humble ourselves to address those issues in our lives, God, so that you can manifest your glory in a way that just brings about your plans, such wonderful plans that you have for us. Let's turn to our first slide. Let's lift up those who are battling various cancers, going through chemotherapy treatment. And so let's just really lift them up this morning. Let's pray for God's healing hand in their lives. Let's go to our next slide, and let's pray for those who are sick but also need Jesus. They need salvation in their life. Let's just pray that God will just, just continue to reveal himself to them. And let's also just pray for their physical healing as well. Let's go to our next slide, and let's pray for those who in our community who are suffering from other various infirmities. Let's pray for those in our community looking for jobs. Let's pray that God will just continue to provide for their daily needs. Let's pray for their continued dependence on God during this season of waiting. And let's just pray that God will just prepare the right place for them. Let's go to our mission focus, and let's pray for our church plants, SP Singapore, SPIN, SPIL, and SP New York. Let's just pray that during this season, they can just really be able to follow God's plan for their communities in the time where they may not be able to physically meet together, but that doesn't mean they can't spiritually still gather. Let's pray, especially SP Singapore and SP New York, where the virus is really hitting very hard and growing. And so let's just continue to pray, Lord, that God will just keep them safe and give them wisdom on how to help their communities during this time as well. Let's lift up our education ministry, SP Kids, SP Youth, and SPU. Let's just pray that our kids will just really, and our students will really just be able to connect together. And let's really lift up their families, for especially SP Kids and SP Youth, who are leading them more during this time in their maybe than they have been in the past. And let's pray that they can really just deepen their relationship together and in their relationship with God together as a family as well. Let's lift up our prayer and healing teams, our IP, the Well and River, led by Matt and Rachel. Let's just pray for them, Mom. They lead, that God will just really guide them. Let's pray for their teams, that God will continue to be able to use them. Let's just continue to lift these teams up. Let's lift up our evening outreaches, SP Lights and Homies, and they're suspended right now. Let's just pray for the families and the people that we typically minister to, that during this time their physical needs will be met, but also their spiritual. And we just pray, that God will just continue to work in these homes and in these people's lives. Let's pray for our house churches meeting tonight, East Bay, Olympic, Robin Hood, and Westville. Let's just really pray that God will just speak to each member, that even though they're meeting through Zoom, that they can really just connect on a deeper level. And let's just pray that they're for wisdom for their leaders as they guide these different calls and meetings tonight. Finally, let's lift up our city. Let's lift up our leaders. Let's lift up people who are, struggling financially because of everything that's been happening the last year, from the protests to the virus. And let's just pray that God's healing hand will be upon the people of this city. So God, we just thank you, God, that you're a God who is active in our lives, that you're continually seeking to bring us back into relationship with you, God, Lord, that you have great plans in our lives. God, maybe they are not these big elaborate plans, but these plans to really give us peace and hope and a future with you, God. And I pray, Lord God, that we will continue just to be able to just come before you humbly, to allow you to transform our lives. God, to allow you to really just mold us and shape us into who you want us to be. God, we just thank you that you're a God who cares, that you're a God who's with us in our difficult times, God, and in our good times. So, Lord, I pray, Lord, today as we go, whether it's work or at home, homeschooling kids, whatever it is that you're calling us to today, God, that we can just really see your presence, God. So, Lord, we thank you, we love you. In your name we pray. Amen.